sit right back, then you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shooting, nice shooting.
Nice shooting, not bad for an old geezer like me. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski. We'd like to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take very lighthearted looks at the very serious issues of creation, evolution, serious issues of origin. And we think that your view of your origin may reflect your view of your future. And today on Sink the Beagle, we want to talk about what, John?
I think we were saying we've done some things on philosophy-type stuff, more on the design movement, more on history a little bit, and stuff on sinosaurs. And yeah, we're getting tired of that.
Yeah, let's go to the Bible.
Because we are creationists par excellence, and we believe the Bible is the source. And in one sense, we have some texts that, you know, we often spend a lot of time in Genesis, but the New Testament in some ways begins just like the Old Testament, especially when you go to the story of Jesus, and especially when you go to the Gospel of John.
Okay.
John
Your
is
book?
My book. I'm named after it.
Yeah.
It's not named after me, that's for sure.
But, John's book.
It's the book of the Gospel of John, his gospel, and he begins his gospel very much like the way Moses begins the Bible.
In the beginning?
In the beginning. So let's go there to John chapter 1, and it says these words. In the beginning was the Word, or the Logos. And I guess we'll define that in a second. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, being a person, the Word is a person, was in the beginning with God. And this concept of Logos, when you start studying it, and we'll get into this text a little farther, is basically, some biblical scholars say, in the beginning is the divine reason.
Okay.
In other words, before you have material objects, you have this being. You have this
mind.
This mind, this thought, which is outside of matter. And he is
above
the reason.
Matter.
And our reason for even being able to reason is because he is. And so that's the first step, you know, of all existence. Is God. In the beginning, God. And in the beginning, Jesus. This very verse itself is saying that Jesus and the Father are there before creation, are there together eternally, is implied.
And anyone who reads John chapter 1 verses, the first few verses, would immediately see that John is parodying or at least referencing the Genesis account. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You have, in the beginning of all creation, there was a God who was there before.
Yes, because then the next verse, it says in verse 3, notice, all things. Now we get to material.
Okay.
Before we get to the actual...
There's God, there's reason, there's that mind first.
The mind of God, the person of God is there, the being of God.
Then
is
things
there. Then comes
come.
All things came into being through him. That is, through Jesus. Jesus apparently, this gives you a little bit of an insight into who Jesus is, who creationists believe, a little insight into his role as part of this deity we call one God. And his role is he is the acting agent of the will of the Father with the Holy Spirit. It says all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being, or nothing was made that was made.
And if you know, we're going to cheat and drop down to verse 14, it says that this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in case you didn't know by now, you certainly do by verse 14, Jesus is this Word, this Logos. It is referencing Jesus. And, of course, then John goes into the great story of Jesus in his book. This same Jesus is the one who was the creator, the active agent.
So the first thing we discover is the time of his existence is eternal. Before there were things, there is Jesus and the Father. There is God.
And, he was and with God and God. And that's kind of hard to do. And that's why the Trinity sometimes is a hard thing for people to understand and wrap themselves around.
You know,
how can you be God and with God? You can if there are three persons who can claim the name or the title of God.
Yeah. And interesting that all these verses, all these little phrases we translate was are really Greek imperfect to say in him was and continues to be. In other words, he was and continues to be in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him and everything. Mm-hmm. And in verse 4, you could say it this way. In him was life. Now you have stuff, and then okay. he says life. In him was and continues to be life, mm-hmm. and the life was and continues to be, is a way of saying this, was the light of men.
Well, okay, so... You know, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So it lit up men. His presence, his involvement, his being there was life. Now, you know, we talked about intelligent design certainly recently on Sink the Beagles. We talked about some of the critiques of it and how would intelligent design impact the study of the various sciences, mm-hmm. and you can't think of an area that would be more impacted than this thought that in Jesus was life. You know, Jesus is the source of life. Is it chemistry? Is it biology? What is it?
All that life is.
But whatever it is, that's the origin. You know, Big Bang or aside, you know, this is the source of life.
And that reality of his existence, mm-hmm. his creative power, mm-hmm. and his source of life, mm-hmm. explaining all the origins of when, where, and why, mm-hmm. is the light or the truth and the light of men. It's what helps us. We are made in that image, and it's our very existence is dependent on those things.
Well, read verse 5 then.
And then verse 5. The light... That's Jesus, shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Oh, my goodness. Now, so here we have a situation where there is, first of all, reason, that is the mind, the logos, that is Jesus. And then after him comes stuff,
mm-hmm.
He made things. After that was life, and then after that, there was darkness, and apparently darkness is comes after life was created, and this darkness, the light of Jesus, the light of life in men, is now dealing with and struggling with powers of darkness.
Because there's this, it's not, we were joking a few beagles ago about the scientists who've discovered, who at least postulate the idea of dark matter and dark energy, which they can't prove exists.
No, but it answers questions for them or solves some problems, but I think we know
where
the darkness
comes now. Yes. The darkness is the clouded mind, and of course the Romans, Paul says in Romans and Revelation that we have become darkened in mind when we disconnect ourselves from the mm-hmm. source of light mm-hmm. and the source of life.
And Jesus came into the world, you know, into human flesh for the express purpose of sharing more light to a dark world. And John's little reference in verse 5 here is that he had trouble. He had trouble. That light was not always received. It didn't always penetrate every corner of darkness because some people rejected Jesus.
And when you go throughout the entire Gospel of John, you find this play off of light and darkness, mm-hmm. the play mm-hmm. off of walk while you still have light, mm-hmm. walk while you still have life. Take deeply into consideration the reason for your existence, who mm-hmm. I am, what I am doing, and everything before you write me off, you mm-hmm. know, or mm-hmm. because you're not going to have me here on this earth forever. Matter of fact, you're not going to have any of this forever unless you accept the light.
One of the more dramatic chapters in John is chapter 8, where Jesus is really quizzed by the religious leaders of the day. And one question they asked him, as he kind of said something that made them think that he might even know Abraham or was claiming to know Abraham, understanding Abraham. They said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Who are you?" It was really what they were asking. And Jesus answered with a very interesting sentence in Greek, especially. It says, "Before Abraham was," past tense, "was, I am,"
yes.
present tense.
And some of the verses, your King James has "I am he," but "he" is supplied.
Yes.
Jesus is saying, the I am. I am the mm-hmm. one when, you know, Moses said,
yes.
"When I go back to Egypt and talk to these slaves, that your people there who are in slavery, and they ask me, 'Who sent you?' What do I tell them?" And God says to Moses, "Tell them the I am. Has sent you.
I am sent you." The I am of creation.
The I am of creation, the I am of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And so there, clearly in John 8, you have that link mm-hmm. between Jesus and Genesis again. Not only do you have the link here in chapter 1, but you have the link there again in chapter 8.
Well, in the first chapter, and John is writing, you might be able to say, well, this is John trying to describe Jesus. But when you get to chapter 8, this is Jesus describing Jesus when he said, before Abraham was, I am. I am the creator. You know, when you're asking Jesus, tell us about the creator, he could say, speaking.
Here I am. Yeah. Okay. Next question. It's remarkable that people, though, unfortunately, it says here that light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it, it says here. Mm-hmm. Other places in the Gospel of John and the Bible, it says that mankind, humanity, loved darkness.
Yes.
Rather than light.
Yes. In fact, if you go on in this first chapter, it says that John the Baptist was a light, and all of these different, you know, proofs that God offers to mankind that Jesus is the light of the world.
All the witnesses.
And the truth.
Yeah.
All the witnesses, and they were rejected. And all the signs. The book of John really is a series of significant miracles and events in Jesus' life that were meant to be
attention grabbers.
And look at who this is. Look at who is ministering among you and preaching the word of truth. This is somebody who actually has a divine nature. This is the one sent from God. And unfortunately, darkness was, the more favored condition that people wanted.
You know, the first thing you really have to understand in this is accepting Jesus for who he says he is. Mm-hmm. And there is an element where evolutionists are correct. If you don't believe him as God, if you believe him, you are probably, in their perspective, the most duped. But if you sort of believe in kind of a theistic way of thinking, is where my mind was going on this, a theistic evolution, you're saying that, well, yeah, God started it, but he isn't there.
Right.
Jesus is saying bluntly, I am the creator. If you want a relationship with me and you want to have it, it's on my terms, not your terms.
That's right. You got to think, you got to take me seriously. My claim, I mean, I'm right in your face, and this is the light. This light is shining, and you better accept it now. I'm dwelling among you. I'm here. And Jesus is, you know, we've talked about this before in earlier Sink the Beagles, John. If Jesus is in fact the creator, if he is a creative agent among the three of the Trinity, then what does that say about this creator God who would come and live among us and even suffer to the point of the terrible death on the cross that he lived in order, apparently, that his creatures might have life again?
Yeah.
Life was in him, and he's offering life again to us.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting that here in 14, we said that this word became flesh earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This word that created it all became flesh and dwelt among us. And then John says, we saw his glory. And the glory here isn't so much God's power that he's trying to manifest, though there is power involved. It's really his character. Can you trust the one who has the power? And it says, we beheld that glory. It was just full of grace, full of truth, everything that now makes sense when you look at Jesus. If you want to see what God is like as a character, trust him? You watch Jesus.
Jesus' miracles always show that he cared for people. He saw people suffering. He even raised Lazarus from the dead. That's in John. All of these different things. God is sending his son to this world so he can raise people from the dead. He wants dead people to live again. He has life in him. Jesus told Martha and Mary, do you not believe? I am the resurrection and the life.
I am is the resurrection and life.
That's exactly right. And that's what he offers, a whole story in the book of John, your book, John. That great story is in there, that Jesus is the creator, and his greatest goal of becoming human and living among us in flesh was to give us life, the life we lost.
And John is telling us the creator loves us. You can trust him. And there's calls throughout to commit your life to him, whether it be Nicodemus, whether it be the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
All the way through, there is a call to stop being on the fence, step out in faith for Christ, and it is the safest place to be.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.